everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online. My name is Francie, and I'm joined today by Lyndon Ashby, who's here to talk to us about his new film, Beta Test. Lyndon, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. So I know we're going to get right back into the questions here. So without giving away too many spoilers, what can you tell us about the storyline of Beta Test?
Well, first of all, it's sort of an homage to 1990s action films, which have a soft spot in my heart, naturally. And then it's with a sort of a 2016 twist to it, you know, as far as very timely subject matter and corporate manipulation of public opinion. And some interesting kind of stuff happening. So yeah, it's an homage to 1990s action films with a 2016 twist.
Right. And now there's a heavy video game presence in the movie as well. You think that kind of plays into the more modern take on it?
I do, and I think I'm not sure, you know, because everyone who watches it thinks that it's animation, and it's actually not. It's an actual video game that was created for this film. And I think that's a really neat part of it. You know, Nicholas Geeny, the director, he called in so many favors on this one to get it done. And the results are there, and it paid off. And it's, it's action. It's pretty smart. And good story. So, you know, it's all the elements.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed it.
You did?
So you actually, yeah, I did. I loved it. So you actually played a villain in this movie, which is different than some of your previous roles. How do you think that the acting process changes when you play the bad guy instead of the good guy?
You know, I don't think it really changes all that much because I think that very few bad guys think that they are bad guys. I think that, so it's sort of, you approach it from the same place and, you know, as a man with convictions and he thinks he's doing the right thing for the right reasons. And his motives are pure. His methods are mad. He's I actually agree with a lot of the stuff that my character says and feels until you get to the absolute batshit crazy part, and then we kind of part ways.
Right. A lot of what he said did actually make sense, but then, of course, he took it to the extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a little carried away.
Yeah,
and, I mean,
it's interesting.
Now, I mean, you know, gun control and the issue of gun control, it couldn't be any more topical if you had planned it. The whole movie is fairly topical.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on nowadays that's very present in the movie, especially with the tasks and everything your character was saying. Very heavy presence.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I was just saying that you know, I'm not a fan of when actors start spouting, you know, political opinions or anything, but I did find myself agreeing with quite a bit of what Kincaid was saying, the character. And,
right.
I mean, I think that we have reached a place in this country where we need serious gun control. And it's not about waiting lists. It's not about background checks. It's about gun control. And I mean, to me, you know, they keep talking about assault weapons. They keep talking about, you know, they make it about an assault rifle. And I go, no, you're missing the point. It's about a gun with a clip, or a magazine is a technical term for it. And I mean, it's just my opinion, so you can agree or disagree. But the simplest fix, in my opinion, no more guns with clips. None. You can have a revolver.
Right.
You can have a shotgun. You can have a tube-fed magazine, a hunting rifle with you know, where you push the bullets down into it. I grew up with guns. I've spent my life with guns. I own guns. but something's got to give. And it's not about a certain type of gun, you know, as an assault weapon or whatever. That guy could have walked into that club in Orlando with a Glock pistol with,
right,
you know, 13, 15 rounds in it. The moment that you can fire off 15 rounds, 13 rounds, pop a button, reload immediately, and keep shooting, you have a military-grade weapon. And
right,
all I'm saying is that, you know, you can have a revolver. That's fine. You got six shots to get it done, and then you got to reload. You can have a shotgun. You can have a semi-automatic rifle. You can, you know, but you just can't have a clip. And that,
mm-hmm,
to me is a no-brainer of no-brainers. And then, you know, to parrot Kincaid, I find people, you know, give me a reason why you need more than this. And they're going to, you know, talk about their, you know, their rights to bear arms and, you know, to protect themselves from the government. And I go, if you think, I don't care what kind of arsenal you have packed under your house, if you think you're going to go toe-to-toe with the American military with whatever you've got, you know, downstairs, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. You know,
mm-hmm,
it's just not going to happen. And as far as home,
right,
protection, if you can't get it done within one or two shots, odds are you're not going to get it done.
Yeah.
And
I think you
just
have a good point there.
Yeah. So I will step down off of my soapbox, and that's it.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, though. It's not necessarily the right to have it. It's what you do with it and how many shots you've got and the power to switch over, you know.
Yeah, it's the ability to reload quickly. That's the only issue that we're dealing with, and I think it's really simple, you know. But no one talks about it because I think the gun industry is a huge, huge lobby. The NRA is a huge lobby. I'm a member of the NRA, or I certainly was when I was a kid, and it's just gotten to the point of common sense. How many more times are we going to let this happen?
Right, and every time you hear about it, it's those. It is the power to do multiple shots, like you said. It's not just six shots. It's the big magazines that we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they're like, you can't take our guns. Well, yeah, you can. Australia did it. And how many mass shootings have there been in Australia?
That's right.
Since then, and they go, oh, only the criminals will have guns in. Well, you know what? You're still going to have a gun. You're still going to be able to protect yourself. It's just, it's like crazy thinking. But
yeah,
they would probably say,
definitely
crazy. So, you know.
Yeah, that's the world nowadays, I guess. They'll find flaw in everything.
Yep, we certainly do.
Yeah. But your character in the now that we've gotten that on the table, so your character in the movie actually spends a good portion of the movie separated from the other two big characters. So did you find it difficult or easy? Was it harder? Do you think?
It is. It's really weird. Yeah, you know, because you're an integral part of the movie, but you're not actually interacting with the other actors, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
We certainly
presence in the movie.
Yeah, and you know, and Manu and I, you know, we certainly had a few cocktails, so we interacted, but he's a good guy to go out with.
Mhm. But it makes it harder when your character's a different place than the other two characters for a big part of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Mhm. But so you've been in quite a few projects over the years, several projects. Do you think that the process of filming a movie is any different than, say, a television show?
No. I mean, I think that it's all kind of the same stuff. I think a lot of it is budget dependent, and you know, the look, you can, you know what it is, it's the holy trifecta. It's, you know, good, fast, and cheap. You can have two, but you're not going to have a third. You know, it can be good and fast, but that's not going to be cheap. And it can be, you know, fast and cheap, and it's not going to be good. So you have to, you know, it's really time is what you fight for on these kind of projects. And we had time to rehearse, and we had time to shoot, and you know, we had a good time making it.
Yeah.
And
the end product.
You know, yeah, and that's all that really matters, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So where are you located?
I personally am in Atlanta, but Variety Radio Online is filled with people all over the world. We're international, got some hosts from everywhere.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, Atlanta is near and dear to us.
Oh, that's awesome. I know there's quite a big film presence here now.
I know. It's like Hollywood South.
Yeah.
So what else you want to ask me?
Let's see. Okay. So if the roles had been reversed and you were actually the one in Max's place, do you think that you personally would have made some of the same choices, or would you have made some different choices?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, in the end, he makes pretty good choices. Well, in the very end, he makes kind of questionable choices. But up until then, God, I can never like presume to know what I would do. And, okay, real simple. I would do the exact same thing Max did, because that's what's in the script.
There you go. Perfect answer. That's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
You don't sweat about it. You got it perfect.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So what else we got?
So actually, we can't ignore the fact that you play Sheriff Stilinski on Teen Wolf. We can't ignore that fact.
Nope.
Is there anything that you can tell us about next season?
Are
we getting excited?
I just saw the the rough cut of the trailer for season 6, and it's so good. It is so good. And it's what can I tell you? I can't give away a lot, or else I'll be in really big trouble.
Yes, we don't want you to get in trouble.
A lot of heart in this one. A lot of heartache in this one.
Oh boy.
A lot of action and a lot of really, really scary on a whole different level stuff that's going on. A whole different
All
level.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
We'll be looking forward to it. I know a lot of our staff members watch Teen Wolf, myself included. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that.
Well,
we're
good.
Actually going
to
be at the
Comic
Con panel. Yeah.
You going to Comic Con? I don't think I'm going to Comic Con.
Yeah, of course. We will.
No, I'm not going to go. Yeah, I'm not going to go this year.
Oh, you're not? Oh, no.
I don't think so.
Well,
I know. Write to MTV and complain.
Okay. We'll make that happen for you.
Well, wait. When is Comic Con?
Mid July. In that range.
Oh, is it mid July? I thought it was towards the end. Maybe
well,
I'll be at
like
Comic Con, but I'm not planning on being at Comic Con.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
If you are there,
I got a good.
Hope you have a great time.
Yeah, I got a good surf trip planned.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
It takes precedence.
But, yes. Well, we're definitely excited for the new season of Teen Wolf. The movie was great. I believe it comes out July 22nd. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. We got a 20 city release, which is pretty cool, and I'm really happy about that, and very, you know, just so happy for Nicholas. That, you know, this all came from him. I mean, this is his story, and he put this together, and he got financing, and he has called in favors that you couldn't believe to get this film made. And my hat is just off to the guy. It's what a labor of love, and it shows.
Yes, definitely a good movie. So everybody listening, make sure you go check it out when it comes out on July 22nd. Is there any social media or anything that you want to give out to the listeners before we say goodbye?
No, I think it's a beta test movie on Twitter. You can check it out. You can watch the trailer. And other than that, I think that's about it.
All right. That's awesome. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You got more?
Well, I was going to say, I may be wrong, but I think I'm right. The longest uncut action sequence in film history.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Well, if you're right, that is a pretty big feat. So that's definitely something to look forward to, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lyndon. And we hope you have a great day and a great rest of your year. And hope the movie does really well.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.